I reach the church as I live here locally, less than 200 yards away. I approach from behind its imposing giant round double Saxon oak doors that have been updated by another century, adorned with old Tudor roses of gold. The studwork and shape is a familiar statement of Saxon times. It is as much a contradiction as the rest of the old church, as it must have been a much smaller building that stonemasons have added to expand it over time. The windows not uniform or matching, all sizes random, oddities. Some older features survive the test of time, others having been replaced, having been stressed to appear old to fit in, but you can see the newness. It's a midweek day and closed, but it's as beautiful as it would have been as new. It's now pouring with rain. My sketching done, no plein air painting for me. I will have to leave it for another day. As I pack away my detailed sketch and take out my camera to record the rest, yet more detail of its history must be recorded so we might know in the future more that has perished and replaced over time, as I will leave my work of that I have reported. As I am not only the painter, but a writer and poet of my time, I am here to record every detail to maintain its heritage throughout time into its future. From its present day, as we look to the future, others will again do the same, as the church will carry on for centuries to come, long after we're all gone. I approach the side doors. The ancient stones above all have gargoyles. Were they a means to ward off evil spirits, as the church stands above its town, standing tall within it? What century were they added? Were they originally built here? They look so ancient with their eyes staring back at me. I know nothing really of churches, the buildings or ancestry, pagan or otherwise, or why these things are here, why they were used, but they line the structure built into the monument, so obviously they're the talk of much conversation. There are upper stone stories that have only the windows in a matching line that look as if there was more there still. One might have thought it would have a vaulted oak roof, but in later years when occurred the rot, a leaded flat roof was put in that spot, a new 19th century invention. With old-fashioned lampposts crooked with age and new electric lights that light up the façade, an entrance that goes down with steps to an underground crypt is chained across, not allowing any entrance. I reach a tiny door that is truly a relic of the past. It's really old. Is this the priest or vicar's entrance? So tiny in contrast. Above to its left, there's a stone that says that this is an interment in the stones. As the church was being built, into its walls, this person of means, he must have paid for the building to be erected. The town's mercer, the main trader of this town, a Thomas Porter, is interned here in 1673. He is buried with his wife Mary and son Samuel. The stone is weathered and worn, and the writing etched there worn away and becoming illegible as the years have passed. It is left as a reminder of their contributions to the town for all to see. Directly in front of me, with my back to the church, I face the lynch gate that houses the entry to St. John's steps of 48, that are now 42. These steps will take you down into the town. There is the significance of the gentleman town trader overlooking the town, buried high in the church stones, overlooking his town. As I continue around to the front of the church and I'm getting blown around, I now see what the people in the town will be able to see, the more regal frontage of the church's golden clock face that points into the town, with the church's impressive spire that is oh so high, like a skyscraper from down here on the ground, with its weather vane so high, a much more modern touch, a complete contrast to its really antiquated bell tower, with its powerful bells of 10 that call us to church every Sunday, or letting us know of a wedding. This building is the original part still made of old wood, with tiny slatted windows, some arched, some square, and shuttered, made entirely of old oak wood, with crosses in the windows. They show more of its ancestry than other parts now could. as I study the detail and hope that my photographs turn out so that I might add in all the detail and give my painting much to shout about, to bring it to life and add in my words of what this church was all about throughout its years. As I choose another path, directly in front of me are the grey restored firemen's gravestones. They had perished in 1840 in the town's railway station when their engine blew up. I walk back along to the back road that takes me past the two cemeteries to the bottom of the road to the house I call home. Written by Kazzy Shipley Jenkins. This